Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. I want to remind you all of something very important that's happening. We meet with you and we appear in at the Marriott, Courtyard Marriott on Bristol Park, the first Monday of each month. But in July, July is a special month, and the 4th of July is the first Monday. So we will not be with you that Monday. We're moving that show to July 11th. So that's a reminder. You can get more information on the website, www.drpatallen.com. And you can also check up on Facebook. You know how to find us there. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. And once again, I want to take a moment to thank the Want Institute for bringing us to you each and every Friday evening. Dr. Allen, you're on the air.
I know, and I'm happy.
I want to tell you something.
What?
I got a message from somebody who I very much enjoy talking with, and he is in the United Kingdom, and his name is John, and I want to give a shout-out to John. He's a listener. So say hi to John, Dr. Allen.
Hello, John.
John in the UK. We hope you're listening, and we hope you're having a great time. So, Dr. Allen, we were supposed to have Robert Storr on with us tonight, but I think we had a miscommunication. Hopefully, he'll call in and talk
yes,
to us a little bit.
Yes, hopefully he'll call in.
Until then, what's been going on in your world?
I have been continuing to do what I do, which is to teach people how to communicate. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank, making money, at the doctor's office, being well, and in every single relationship, especially the ones that have love, whether sexual or non-sexual. So that's what I do for a living. I manipulate words to impact quantum physic energy, yin and yang.
Very cool. So our call-in number again is 323-203-0815. But first, right off the bat, I have a few questions from Facebook. Some of your... Oh, we've got a call. We'll come back to Facebook. Sorry, Facebookers, you'll have to wait. All right. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do.
Great.
What is it?
Shall I start?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, here's my question. I had a very nice man that was dating me for about 5 months.
Very
and
good.
And towards kind of the end of the 5 months...
At the end of the imperfect period.
I beg your pardon?
The end of the imperfect. The first 3 months are perfect, usually. The second
That's
are
right.
imperfect. The third... 3 months are negotiable period, and the fourth 3 months is a committable period.
Right, right.
So
we were at the 5 month mark, and I could tell that he was getting a little bit distant. And then his family, his father and his wife, came to our area from out of town. It was the first time I was meeting any of his family members. And we all had a wonderful time together. We had a great weekend together. And at the end
and
of that weekend...
And you felt close to him?
I beg your pardon?
You felt close to him in that weekend?
I did, yeah.
We
had a wonderful time together. But it seemed like as soon as his family left, everything kind of, you know, went to heck. And I'm wondering if there's some correlation between this meeting of his family and him... really pulling back.
It depends on what incompatibility there was. Is there a religious incompatibility, an ethnic incompatibility? There are episcripts that are produced by groups, whether it's family or church or country, that often outrank personal one-on-one relationship commitments. So did you find any incompatibility that was exaggerated with the on-site of his parents, family?
Not at all. Not at all. In fact, it went very well. I felt
the
that we were all very compatible together.
Liked you. Okay. Were you by this time in a committed relationship in which sex was involved?
Yes.
Okay.
We did have a contract.
You had a contract for longevity, mm-hmm. continuity, and exclusivity.
Yes.
Was the longevity mating or marriage?
It was, I guess at first it was mating, but we were talking about marriage.
You were talking about marriage. Now,
yes, in the long run.
Yeah, I understand. What does your instinct tell you is the reason for his pullback?
I'm at a loss. I think that's why I'm calling. I'm truly at a loss. I think some of it might be he has a very intense job with the federal government that he had to work on a task force, which took him, took a lot of his mind and his time.
His libido. Remember, libido is not just for sex. Libido
right.
is used whenever you're creating. And the fun part of this is the libido takes more calories than the physical body does, energy. So I want to know, when was the last time you tasted, touched, smelled, saw, or heard him?
Memorial Day weekend.
Okay, so that's how long?
About almost 4 weeks ago.
Okay, he's got 4 more weeks to show that he's gone.
Right.
He has 8 weeks rumination time because right now he's making a decision. You're at the end of the imperfect period, and he's got to decide if he wants to go into negotiation with you for a real responsible job, namely mate or husband. And I wouldn't doubt that he is, in fact, waiting to decide. So why don't we give him 4 more weeks of not even judging and letting him decide what he wants to do. If he does not reach out to you at the end of 8 weeks, you can call him gone. But
okay.
The chances are he still has 4 more weeks of rumination, feel, think, vote, do I, don't I, before we discuss the demise of the relationship. Are you willing to do that?
Yes.
Entertain yourself.
I am
yourself.
Wondering, do you think that scared him, that his family came in and we all got along so well? Was that, can that be
let's
scary
put it
thing?
This way. Whatever scared him, maybe you're... has he been married?
Yes.
Has he had long-term relationships? Do you know much about his personal history?
I do. He was actually married for, I think, 21 or 22 years. So
and,
he had a very long marriage.
And when did it end?
I think they were officially divorced in 2013.
Okay. And who created the divorce?
He did.
Do you know the reason?
Yes, because she was unfaithful.
Okay. Now, unfaithful women are either very masculine and they want more, better, and different, or they're neglected women who basically go out to get love somewhere else because the person they're with went away.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he is now checking you out to see if you've noticed he's gone, and are you chasing him?
I have not. No, I have not chased him at all. I have not called or sent a text or an email or anything.
Well, I would suggest you continue that, because if this is a game of let's you and him fight, he might be testing you for mother skills, and mothering means that he really is pulling back to get you to reach out and come forward.
Mm-hmm.
So don't. unless you want to be his mother, you see.
Which I don't.
You don't. Okay. So I suggest you call us back in 4 weeks and let us know what he did and what he said or didn't. In the meantime,
I will do that.
Entertain yourself.
Thank you, caller.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I've been duty dating for a couple of years, and a guy started dating me, and he wanted to get in, and I'm in an exclusivity contract.
Boy, do you talk good, Pat Allen.
I hope so, but this is where I messed up.
Where'd you mess up or didn't and just have to find out you didn't?
Okay, well, hopefully I didn't, but I feel I did. I'm really used to duty dating, and so when a guy isn't calling me and giving me the attention that I want, I just talk to somebody else, and I'm so used to a lot of stimulation. But now I don't have that, and I find myself a little needy. And I said on a text tonight to him that...
Oh, you reached out to him.
No, he reached out to me.
Well, good.
How was your day? He said, how was your day? And I said, good. And I was hoping... Oh, anyway, he said, how was your day? I said, good. Thanks for the call. And he said, what are you up to? I said, having dinner with a friend. And then he said, well, I'm having a drink at a bar. And then I texted him later because my friend went home. I said, I was hoping you would request to see me tonight. And we have a date for Sunday. And I said, am I going to see you? You know, is that all I'm going to see you this weekend is on Sunday?
So you asked for more, better, and different love, affection, time, and sex.
Yes. Okay. And I said, you know, I was hoping you would request to see me.
That's extremely really like masculine.
It is. So yes. I screwed up. I'm just supposed to sit here and be by myself because I feel like before when I was duty dating, I would just go to somewhere with a girlfriend, you know, kind of looking for guys. It doesn't even make sense now.
To go looking for guys?
Yeah, because I'm supposed, you know, to go
out
with the
girls. But you see, you had a date planned. The date was already set for Sunday. You wanted more, better, and different.
And I screwed up.
Well.
So what do I do?
Not a thing. You have a date for Sunday.
Okay.
Don't
so should
you?
She just act so, like nothing on Sunday, like just avoid that whole misstep?
I would not say a word.
Okay.
If he cancels the date, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
That would be the time that she might want to make an amends to him.
Right, but for now, just lay low on the date Sunday.
And go on the date Sunday and don't bring it up. If he says anything that sounds like you were sure lonely or you were sure whatever, then you might say something like, you know, I was needy, but luckily I worked through it, and I now accept the fact that you have the right to see me as often or as little as you want, and I have the right to say yes or no, and I say yes.
Does that make sense, caller?
It does, and when after I said that, he said, well, how about we get together tomorrow and cook out? So he did make another one for Saturday, and so I have Saturday and Sunday. But
well,
I should apologize because now I feel
no,
I so
no,
bad.
No,
I feel
no,
bad.
No,
no, no, don't do it.
Only if he casts aspersions on your behavior. If he teases you if he teases you, then you can say, I was needy. And I did go after you, but I'm not going to do that anymore. You have the right to see me and to ask me out at your request, and I will say yes or no.
Okay, so in the future, if I want more time, I just keep my mouth shut.
Or you do the following. You use a tool, honey or whatever you call him. I have a request to make of you. Would it be convenient for you to listen to my request now? And he would say, what would he say?
He would say, yeah.
Okay, he's that kind of a man?
Yeah, he's listens to me very well.
All right. Then you would say, you know what, I so appreciate that we're going to see each other Sunday, but I've got to be honest, I really want to see you one more time before Sunday. What do you think about that?
Okay. Okay. So just nicely request it.
No, not nicely.
No.
Use the tool. Make an appointment for, I have a request to make of you, and then okay. appropriate, convenient time to hear it, and then accepting what he says in response to your request.
Okay.
But in the
and
future...
And what do you say about...
In the future, remember, I recommend you don't... How long have you been dating him?
Oh, my gosh. Only 3 weeks.
Okay. I request that until you're in a committed relationship, I would really not ask for more, better, or different love, affection, time together, or sex. Let him have the fun of pursuing you, courting you.
Okay, so that brings in the thing. For 2 years, I've been like talking to, you know, 3-4 men at a time, going on several dates a week. So now I have this like lull. And used to, when I would feel like lonely, I would just talk to another guy.
I have no problem with you talking, dancing, doing whatever you do. But that has nothing to do with dates that are coming in. You had a Sunday date. You were lonely. Go dancing. Go bowling.
Has he asked you to be exclusive?
Well, yeah, he asked to get in several times. And
No. They all asked to get in.
Yeah.
Has he said, I want you to stop dating other people?
He didn't say that, but he kept asking to get in, saying, I want
to
make love to you.
Getting in is just part of the biology of relationships.
Yeah, all men say that. Our thing is whether or not he's asked you to stop dating others, because if he hasn't, then why aren't you?
Well, because I said I'm not comfortable having casual sex. I prefer
no,
to
we
be
did, wait a minute, wait a minute. We're not talking
and
about
he said,
sex.
Okay, I want to do that.
My want for you is their sign that they're interested is, are you dating? Yes. I want you to stop and date me only. That's when you stop dating other people. So you have a right to date as many as you want until someone that you want asks you to stop.
Even if we had an agreement that if we were together, we weren't supposed to be having sex with other people?
I didn't talk about sex. If you're having sex with him, you have got to have negotiated monogamy, continuity, and longevity. So did you or didn't you negotiate?
Only exclusivity. I didn't do continuity or longevity.
Then that's where we're at. You didn't have, you didn't have that.
So I messed up.
No, you didn't really, because you got a date with him on Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
I'm just suggesting in the future that you let him decide when he wants to see you, and that if you're monogamous, you're monogamous sexually and socially. Is that true?
That's the way I understood it to be, yes.
Then that would mean that you would go to the movies with your girlfriend instead of with the friend boy. You would stop socially dating and sexually dating. Obviously, you had that one. But socially is when you still portray yourself as single to other people.
All right. We got to run, caller. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Yes. Hello. I have a question on advice
how to be a woman with a career while dating and not turn into a career woman?
You mean on the date turning into a career woman?
No, I'm focusing on my career a lot.
Okay, you're a career woman. So if your boss called...
I want to be a woman with a career, but it's hard to... Where's the line?
The line has to do with when are you off duty at work, and if your boyfriend or your boss calls you, who gets the priority? Do you see? Are you a career woman right now or a woman with a career?
Okay.
Which are you?
I don't know. I've always been a woman with a career, but I feel that I'm at the moment where I want to build my career, but I also want to keep dating. So I don't know if I should stop
dating. By all means, keep it up. The problem, the deal is you've got to organize your time so that you are rested and that you allow your dates not to interfere with your career production. So if you're a career woman, be a good career person and be a good woman person and know when one goes on and one goes off duty.
Okay. So I don't have to stop the momentum I'm gaining.
No, I suggest
to keep dating.
You flirt 5 minutes a day, every day, 5 days a week. And four of those times, you're smiling and looking in the eyes of gentlemen that you're attracted to or not, just practicing. And one of those times, one time a week, you go out there and you be where they are so that you can, in fact, attract at least three men who are interested in dating you at least three times to see if there's any possibility for a committable relationship with one of them. In other words, you've got to determine time and money and physical health and prioritize your efforting so that you develop your career and also on the side that you practice flirting, dating.
So is that okay if my career is a priority and then dating is a second priority?
Absolutely. In fact, the worst thing you can do is try to do both equally. Then you ruin both. So with this in mind,
that's what I mean.
Your career takes the priority of your health. Your career takes the priority of your time. Your career takes priority of your pleasure because that's where you're at. But you have set aside time, health, rest in order to be able to date.
So if that means going on one date a month, then that's okay as long as I'm open to it.
As long as you're doing it. I suggest that every week you flirt 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, eyeballs and smile, for running around the world, and once seated or standing, listening to music or waiting for your chicken to get cooked, whatever it is, so that somebody can hit on you while you're standing or sitting. Starbucks, cup of coffee.
Okay. Because lately I've been focusing on career and self-grounding, like self-love and stuff. So I thought I was feeling a little guilty for wanting to do that and not keep on dating. But
well,
I can do it both.
You do them both. It's just who's got the priority.
Who's got the priority?
And for
I agree.
You,
until
it's your
the
career.
Right guy comes along.
So your boss takes precedence over your date.
Okay. And thank you. I have
we got to go. No, thank you. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Yes. Dr. Allen,
yes?
I want to ask assistance with making a rational decision in how to say it. This guy that I was with for since a year ago, we started seeing each other a year ago. I mean, it's been a year now. However, we've broken up a couple times because he took off with another woman.
Okay.
And this last time, after 5.5 weeks, he contacted me and practically begged me to get back together with
That's
him.
That's right. The 5.5 is right in the right where it belongs in the 8-week cycle. That 8-week business is not a Pat Allen contrivance. That 8 weeks is a neurobiological rumination, think, feel, vote in, vote out, vote in, vote out behavior that human beings go through when making a sensitive, serious decision. So that's where it comes from. So what happened at 5.5 weeks?
Okay. So I decided to give him another chance.
Fine.
I said, what I am looking for is I want to get together with him only if it's monogamous and it's committed, continuous, and building to something long-term. And when we talked about that, the monogamous part, he was a little bit not sure. And he said, well, we're going to keep seeing each other, and then we'll build towards that.
So you didn't get all three aspects. You didn't get compatibility, communication. Well, you didn't get longevity, continuity, and exclusivity.
Yeah, he said he's committed, except that the monogamous part, he didn't really say outright that he
Well, he wants an open relationship, apparently. He wants to be able to date other women, or men and women. Who knows? He may be bisexual.
And I did ask him about that, and he said no, he wasn't dating, he's not dating anybody else. So at this point, when he disappeared yesterday, I felt insecure, and I want to bring it up to him that if I were to continue seeing him, it has to be monogamous. How should I state that to him? Is it
well,
a negotiation at this point?
You're having sex with him?
Not yet.
Therefore, you have not made a commitment. You are dating.
Okay.
And he is saying, I'm not ready to give up my right to be polygamous sexually and probably socially. But I want to date you at this level until I decide if you're the one. You cannot, unless you're the man, you cannot ask him to stop dating other people. That's what the masculine one does. Do you want to be the man?
No, I don't want to be the man.
All right. Then if you don't want to be the man, let him date whoever he wants, but don't have intercourse with him until he says, I want you for my woman, and you say, does that mean you're not going to socially or sexually date other women? See, social is him portraying himself as available to other people. Sexually is obviously physical. And monogamy in my world is to talk about whether you're sexually and socially monogamous or just socially or sexually. It takes both social. Otherwise, people are going right back on the websites in order to portray themselves as single again. When they've already said, yes, I'll be monogamous, sexually. What that means is, I don't want to risk dangerous sex, so I'll be monogamous with one person, and then I'll date everybody else and see if there's greener grass somewhere else. So, are you the man, and if so, are you asking him to stop dating other women?
I've kind of suggested that by what I've told him, that I will continue seeing him only if that were the case.
Okay.
Perhaps so there's a better way to say it. Should I say it?
The best way to say it is, when he asks for intercourse, I don't have intercourse unless I'm in a sexually monogamous, socially monogamous, long-term, continuous relationship. Has he asked for sex, intercourse?
Yes. Yes,
and
he
you've
has.
said?
We, I, Well, the reason we have not is because we do not have the right setting where we have.
All I care about is, have you had intercourse, oral, anal, or vaginal?
Yes, in the past we have oral.
All right. So you've already had your sexual meeting, your quote, wedding night. And now you're going for monogamy on a social level, which is backwards, because the masculine one, like yourself or him, is the one that says, I want you to stop socializing with other people and sexualizing.
Because, I feel bonded to him and I'm feeling insecure.
You are bonded to him and you are insecure. Would you please stop having intercourse with him until you get a full sexual and social monogamous agreement?
Yeah, we have not anymore.
All right.
I am continuing to see him, though. And
you can see him.
Date him.
Just don't mate with him.
Yeah, don't mate.
Date, no mate.
Okay.
So it's as if I'm at his mercy in order for...
Darling.
No, you're not. He hasn't asked you to become exclusive, has he? He's not exclusive with you if he's not committed to monogamy. If he's not committed to monogamy, you can date too.
Okay, that hasn't come out as something really clear between us. I think he has the idea that I am monogamous to him. However, he himself is...
Welcome to the world of women that are generous. Would you please stop having intercourse with this man until you both agree on the three aspects of commitment? Longevity, mate or marry, continuity, weekly, monthly, whatever, and exclusivity, sexually and socially.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I have stopped. So how should I bring that up as a conversation?
Between when he asks for intercourse. When he asks for intercourse.
That's the only time that I would bring it up.
That's right. That's all. Otherwise, you're going to the movies and having dinner. That's
it. Or you're walking through the supermarket in the produce aisle, and all of a sudden you say, you know, listen, no, that doesn't make any sense. Let him make a move, and then...
Tell him what it takes.
Do you think I should make it clear to him that, okay, I'm going to be dating other people?
No, dear.
Just do it.
No, dear. You don't try to scare him.
But I don't want him to think later on that I cheated on him. No, that's manipulation.
Just date him until you have the agreement, then be sexual.
Okay.
All right. That's all we can give you tonight.
Thank you. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hi there. Just listening to the webcast here, and you know, I just got in an argument with my fiance.
Okay.
And I may have offended her. In what I did, she's expressed I offended her while we were having dinner with my mom, and my mom saw her face turn sour and totally jumped her, and this is out in public, you know, and jumped her in the fact that, well, you know, you're treating my son, you're mistreating him, and he's always upset. This is how you make him feel. When it was just a moment between the two of us, and I just, and it's come to a culmination, you know, where she's very upset, and she feels we need to talk about this stuff, but when I want to talk to her, you know, she definitely gets angry, and it's just, she doesn't
want to
be bothered. Wait a minute,
do I understand you correctly that your mother insulted her in front of you?
It was just, she was upset that...
Who was upset? Well, your mother or your fiancé?
Yeah, my mother. And it was the fact that we wanted to travel and spend Christmas with my mom in Canada. And, you know, my fiancé says, well, you know, I don't want to travel during the holidays because it's really difficult in the airport with
the
kids.
Wait a minute. Who's the man in your relationship? I hear you've got a very strong mother. Have you picked a woman like your mother?
I have indeed.
Okay.
Exactly like my mother.
Then may I recommend that you don't date the two women at the same time?
Yeah.
Go with
Absolutely.
Your fiance and negotiate the deal. Keep your private. Are you in a nuclear family where your mother is the center and everybody honors her?
Yeah, she's very supportive financially.
Well,
she has blood.
What I'm hearing is a nuclear family. In a cellular family, each unit, you and your fiance, your mother and you, and whoever else is in the family, forms cells that are part of a whole family. But what I'm hearing is your mother and your fiance are both your strong women, and you are going to either figure a way to teach them not to disrespect you by fighting over you, or you're not going to join the two of them socially at the same time because they're going to hurt each other.
Yeah.
Which would you prefer?
I would prefer to hang out with my fiance all the time. My mom is just here recreationally in the wintertime because it's too cold in Canada.
I see.
And, you know, when she's here, it's like she's the queen. And, you know,
no, she's the matriarch.
Yeah, definitely.
That's in a family. Maybe you and your fiance need to discuss how you behave in front of you bringing up issues of coming to visit for holidays when your mother and your fiance are both at the table is like, the Third World War.
Yeah.
Keep it light.
So true.
Light. Light if they're together with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I have a little book that I've written with a man, and it's called The Truth About Men Will Set You Free, But First It'll Piss You Off. And it's about you men and how we women get angry with you because you don't do it our way unless we've been trained to respect men. And I'm hearing that maybe your mother was raised to be more of a boy than a girl.
I would have to agree. She was like the first woman allowed into law school in Tehran.
Wow.
You know, like these things
wow.
Yeah.
And that's honorable. So when you're with when you're with her and your fiance is there too, please have an agreement to keep it light and airy, not heavy.
That's some really good advice.
All right. Go use it.
Get the book.
Yes, Dr. Allen.
Take care,
hon.
We're
going to pick that up.
Good.
Thanks, caller. Hey, caller. I know you've been trying to call a lot, and I'm sorry about that, but you're on the air now. Do you have a question?
Hi, girls. Yes, I do have a question.
Awesome.
It's a two-part question. Question number one. I've noticed this about myself for years, and do you think there's some deep underlying problem to feeling almost ashamed of material possessions when you have something that's really nice? Like, I mean, I know I deserve it. I bought it myself. Like, I bought a new car a few weeks ago, and it took me a week to feel okay about it.
Well, what you said to me right now is you deserve what you work for.
Yeah.
That's very masculine. Women are lovable mm-hmm. because they exist, not because they do things. Men are lovable because they do things, not because they exist. I'm afraid mm-hmm. that maybe your father wanted you to do and earn what you got, but that's not a woman's way. A woman is, you sound unworthy of the things you've earned. Do you know what that is?
What is it?
That's norepinephrine addiction. Norepinephrine is a depressive chemistry that we produce to bring us off the ceiling. And apparently, you are not worthy of unlimited pleasure. Is that true?
Yeah, I always have, like, yeah.
So what you
yes.
do is you rain on your own parade, and the rain is called norepinephrine, and the book is called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers by Robert Sapolsky, who talks about mm-hmm. stress. You're stressful because you're unworthy of being a woman, and you should be worthy, and not worthy, but deserving. Deserving mm-hmm. takes effort. Worthiness takes existence. I'm going to tell you something. You're a woman, mm-hmm. and you are worthy of all the pleasure in your life. You're not a boy. Yes, you do things that deserve, you know, pleasure, but you are physically a woman. So be worthy.
Sure.
Thank God and appreciate what comes through. And read the book, because norepinephrine is a downer, and it will produce mm-hmm. too much cortisol in your body, and you will rain on your parade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Sure. Yes, that makes sense. I think all Russians are norepinephrine addicts. Like Dostoevsky, look at his shit. He was like overdosing on that crap. Depressing.
Okay.
You read a novel, you just want to kill yourself.
Oh, hell yeah. Thank you, caller. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have another question.
Yes. As a follow-up to earlier question, so I've been seeing that guy for a year now, and we've broken up a couple times. So from that one-year point, is that where I can expect, or I should expect that to see whether he is committed or...
What do you break up for?
Oh, that's the one where he took off with another woman a couple times.
Well, it doesn't sound like you're committable, because it sounds like he periodically is committable. So
right.
how long and how many times are you going to accept these breakouts?
Well, this last time he was begging, and he said he needed to be with me.
I got news for you. Didn't he say that the other times too?
No, he just came back, and he said he was finished with the other.
All right. Is this his third strike?
This is the third time he's come back.
All right. No, this is the third strike.
This time he begged. Yeah, he begged, and he said that.
Okay. Are you willing to set a limit on how many strikes he has?
Absolutely.
How many? Tell us.
I do not want to put up with any more after this.
All right. So this is third strike. If he outs again, he's gone.
That's it. It's a strange ball game, because it's usually three strikes and you're out. But I guess we'll give him the first one. We'll call that a ball.
That's right. So he's had his three strikes.
You'll have to wait and watch now. I mean, if he does it again.
Do I tell him?
No, you
no.
don't.
He should know.
He begged you to take him back. Now, if he does it again, you know it's just a game of going around in circles. And in that time, you'll say, you have every right to be single and married and single and committed and uncommitted.
Serial monogamist.
I'm not going to do it anymore. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Good luck.
Thanks,
okay.
caller.
Thank you.
We have fast and furious phones. And you know what? 973, you're trying to get through. I'm going to take your call if you call in right now. We only have a couple of minutes. So if you do, there you are, 973. Thank you. Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Thanks for being so patient. Do you have a question?
Oh, no worries. Hi. Yeah, I do. I actually have a question. I'm wondering if you could advise me on doing all your techniques, loving the results, the duty dating. But I'm kind of at a point where I'm wondering how to negotiate chemistry.
In duty dating?
Yeah.
Duty dating doesn't have chemistry. That's the point
okay,
of
well,
duty dating.
If you
dating.
Need someone where when you're picking with your ears, they seem very promising, but there's just no
That's
chemistry.
Duty dating. That usually lasts no longer than 3 years.
If there's no chemistry, then it's a friendship.
Yeah, it's right. And that is about 3 years. It's, you know, the fun of the newness, the enjoyment, and then the boredom, and then goodbye. Chemistry is the glue that keeps you together when you don't like each other. Every relationship.
Yeah, I do like him. I just don't feel any chemistry towards him.
Well, that's...
He's great.
That's separate. No, he's a nice person.
He's a friend.
Yeah.
Do you want to live the rest of your life with a friend that you walk in? You know, I mean, I don't know. When you walk in the morning and you have chemistry with somebody, like, you just get this little tingle in your stomach and, like, in your tips of your fingers and your toes. When you see them, like, your belly does a flop. That's chemistry. You wake up in 5 years and it's that same person. You walk into the kitchen. Great, Bob. Do you want to go to the store or a ball game or bowling? You know, I mean, it's what you're willing to trade for. Some people are fine with just having that friendship relationship. I don't know, Dr. Ellen, how do you feel about that?
There are three elements in a good relationship called being in love. One is chemistry,
mm-hmm.
because compatibility and communication ebb and flow.
Mm-hmm.
There are days you fit together and days you don't like each other and days you love each other. But chemistry is the physical, natural connection between one set of DNA stuff and another, and it will save you on the bad days.
So it's the super glue, essentially.
It's the super glue, right.
The super glue of a relationship.
Right.
I always think of it like a carousel horse, you know, the up and down, the up and down. But
yes.
A carousel horse is staying on the carousel. He's not going to fly off.
No.
So he's super glued there, but it's whether or not he's up or down. And
that's,
I mean,
right.
I've been in long-term monogamous relationships where I've thought to myself, I will punch you in the throat and at the same time, you know, love that person and really have chemistry for them, but they're acting stupid. You just don't do it. It's just there. But that chemistry is, I feel Dr. Ellen has just nailed that so succinctly because it's the thing that makes you turn the car around, if you will.
Well, it's body to body. What it is it's an exchange of pheromones which go through the mouth, through the nose, up to the Jacobson's organ.
Mm-hmm.
Then it splits into the zero pre olfactory cranial nerve.
Yeah.
One strand goes to the neocortical brain where it makes a decision, I want that man
mm-hmm.
or woman, and the other strand goes to the pituitary and it gushes its oxytocin love juice.
So when that happens, Dr. Allen, I mean, it's a two-prong attack like the in the military. I mean,
that's,
it's a...
That's a two-on-one press, let's
yeah,
put it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, you're in a world of trouble there because that you can't control that chemistry
no.
either. You cannot. That's just an automatic response.
Right, and that's the reason that I promote not having intercourse with someone until you know if you're compatible. Too many people are friends with perks and the other person is in love. And that's dangerous. Misused sexuality is dangerous. I want both people to either hook up or both people to make love, but not have sex being different. I'm having sex with you, but you're making love with me.
Yeah, it's incompatible. No, I definitely don't want that anymore.
All
I
right.
had that. And I guess where I was coming from with the question is that normally I am recovering from picking with my eyes. So I met someone who, when I listened to everything he had to say, he was right on point with me. He was a great guy.
And did it turn you on?
Zero chemistry.
All right. Then he's called a friend.
Okay.
Now, if you need a green card, friends can be used for fake marriages as long as you're willing to stay with them for a couple of years. In other words, there's something good in every bad thing and something bad in every good thing. That's the purpose of being human, learning how to be who you are. So the good days and the bad days.
Yeah. Okay, well, that makes sense, and I know
all
I made
right.
the right decision then.
So go
Thank
for
you.
Chemistry. Good.
Oh. Great. Thanks, Ellen.
Thanks, caller. Bye-bye. Okay, Dr. Ellen, we have a minute to go, so I want to ask you tonight, what have you got to say to me?
The only way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision. What do I want that I don't have? What do I have that I don't want? Followed by action or inaction as soon as possible.
Awesome. Hey, everyone. I want to remind you all, sign up for our newsletter and get the information first. Follow us on Facebook. Tweet with us. We love to hear from you. We really, really do. The other thing is you need to remember that very important July 11th date for the Monday show at the Culver City Marriott, because we will not be there the 4th of July. We'll be celebrating with our families. Isn't that right, Dr. Allen?
Yes.
Yes, this great American nation. So please remember that. It's extremely important because we don't want you to miss us, and we don't want to miss you. We love you. We're out of here. Bye-bye.
Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.